This is DW News live from Berlin. President Volodymyr Zelensky confirms Ukraine's counteroffensive is underway. He admits taking the action. The action is taking place, but refuses to go into detail. Both Ukraine and Russia say there's been increased fighting along the front line. Also coming up, Donald Trump makes his first public appearance since being indicted on 37 federal counts. The former US president calls the charges ridiculous and baseless. And in our sports block, we'll talk about Manchester City's victory in the Champions League final, as well as bringing you the highlights from the rest of the weekend's sporting action so far. I'm Jack Parrock. Welcome to the programme. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has confirmed that counteroffensive operations against Russian forces are underway. Zelensky gave little in the way of detail, but his comments followed claims by Russia's President Vladimir Putin that Ukrainian forces were taking significant losses. Both Kyiv and Moscow report intense fighting in Ukraine's Zaporizhia region.
Ukrainian infantry fighting in the fields near the city of Bakhmut. This is one of several points along the vast front line where Ukraine has launched localized attacks, prompting Russian President Vladimir Putin to declare that Kyiv's much-anticipated counteroffensive has begun.
First of all, we can clearly say that the offensive has begun, as shown by the use of strategic reserves of the Ukrainian army. This is the first thing. Secondly, the Ukrainian troops haven't achieved what they wanted at not even a single area of fighting. This is an absolutely obvious thing.
To press home this message, Russia has released several videos on social media showing knocked out Ukrainian armor. These drone images show a valuable German-made Leopard 2 tank and several US-supplied Bradley infantry fighting vehicles abandoned or destroyed. Here, a Leopard is hit by a kamikaze drone. Western hardware has been crucial in enabling Ukraine to go on the offensive, but it has been supplied in limited amounts. Speaking during a visit by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Kyiv, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky cautioned against the Russian narrative, but confirmed that Ukraine had gone on the attack.
It is important that Russia always feels that they don't have much time left for them, in my opinion. Counteroffensive and defensive actions are taking place in Ukraine, at which stage I will not say in detail. I believe that we will definitely feel all this. I would not trust Telegram channels, and especially Putin.
Apart from Bakhmut, Ukrainian attacks have also been reported in Velika Novosilka and Orikhiv in the south. Some reports suggest limited gains. But Ukrainian units like this column of Bradleys are trying to pierce Russian defenses several lines deep. And it is already clear that any success will come at a steep price.
Earlier, security analyst Domitila Sagramosa told us more about Ukraine's counteroffensive.
Well, I mean, from the information that we have, which is very patchy, it's coming sort of clear that there are at least three areas where the Ukrainians are sending their forces in greater numbers. That's in the area in Zaporizhia to the south of Orikhiv. Then also in the areas around Velika Novosilka, which is to the west, in the western fringes of the Donetsk Oblast, and also in the areas around Bakhmut, where there have been apparently some important advances of at least 1.4 kilometers. The fighting around in the areas in the western parts of Zaporizhia are very intense. It is not clear how far Ukrainians have managed to move further south. There were reports that they had sort of managed to breach the first line of defenses, but then there are very strong fortifications are present further south. So I think there is a very intense area of confrontation. Around further to the east, Ukrainians seem to also have advanced a bit, not massively, but we have to remember that the defensive lines are very, very strong.
Now, former US President Donald Trump has made his first public appearance since being indicted on 37 federal counts, including violating the Espionage Act, linked to classified documents found at his Florida home. Trump's legal troubles haven't stopped him from hitting the campaign trail, though, at a Republican convention in Columbus, Georgia. He's still the frontrunner for his party's nomination for the 2024 presidential election. And he insists that he's innocent and the victim of political attacks led by President Joe Biden's Department of Justice. Let's listen in to what some of what Donald Trump has had to say.
The ridiculous and baseless indictment of me by the Biden administration's weaponized Department of Injustice will go down as among the most horrific abuses of power in the history of our country. Many people have said that. Democrats have even said it. This vicious persecution is a travesty of justice. You're watching Joe Biden. Joe, I think of it. Biden is trying to jail his leading political opponent, an opponent that's beating him by a lot in the polls, just like they do in Stalinist Russia or communist China. No different.
Let's bring in DW Washington correspondent Michaela Kufner. Michaela, we just heard that short excerpt of Donald Trump's there. He's not really toning anything down, is he?
No, indeed. And he's certainly stacking up on things that could incriminate him even further. Let's just remind ourselves, we saw almost 50 pages of indictment released, 37 counts there. He's accused of having hidden and not handed back nuclear secrets, essentially, strategic plans of U.S. defense, U.S. and its allies, their defense plans if there was an attack. So this is very serious stuff. There is dozens of years of potential prison sentences contained in this. And what does he do? He doesn't just deny the whole thing. He also goes and insults the special counsel who was set up on this, Jack Smith, and calls him deranged, and I explicitly quote that. He actually goes even deeper into calling this a conspiracy against him. He was joking about the very allegation of conspiracy that is against him, saying that this is really what the Biden administration is doing, and he doesn't like to talk about classified documents. He talks about boxes, saying that Joe Biden has many more boxes than him, also warning that the forgotten men and women of the U.S. would rise up. So he stops short of calling for violence, but just about that. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, and we've seen those scenes before. How much does this affect his mission to try and retake the White House in 2024?
Well, clearly the path he has decided to take is to go deeper into this and not to go quiet, not to tone his message down. Quite the contrary. And the big open question now is whether there are enough Republicans who will back him no matter what and who will buy into the narrative of a conspiracy against him. Current polling shows that about a third of Republican supporters would back him no matter what. Or, and this is the second option, whether this indictment, and there's more to come, we're not even talking January 6th yet, we're not even talking Georgia yet, where he was speaking on Saturday, where he infamously called to find him 11,000 votes. So that could help his campaign to once again become the Republican nomination for 2024. This is still open. This is new territory for Trump and the U.S.
Yeah, thanks so much, Michaela Kufner in Washington there. And now let's move on to the world of sports. In the Champions League final, Man City beat Inter Milan to claim their first ever Champions League trophy and sealing a treble of titles along with their league and cup wins in England. After a scoreless first half in which City star Kevin De Bruyne went off injured, the English side scored through their midfielder Rodri. They got the result over the line after a flurry of late chances for their Italian rivals. After the match, our sports correspondent Oliver Moody shared his thoughts on Manchester City's big win from outside the Ataturk Stadium.
The faces of the dejected Inter fans leaving Ataturk Stadium behind me tell the story of this final. Although the Milanese supporters raised the roof in terms of noise levels during the game and their team put in a passionate performance that the fans could be proud of, ultimately it's Manchester City who leave as European champions. And in winning the Champions League, they've now completed the treble of domestic league, cup and European Cup. It wasn't a vintage performance by City, it wasn't a vintage final, but ultimately patience paid off for them. A late goal from Rodri giving them the European title for the first time in their history.
Let's move on to the tennis now. And Iga Świątek beat Karolina Muchová to win the French Open in Paris, continuing her recent dominance at this Grand Slam tournament.
The roles were cast clearly ahead of this final. Iga Świątek, world number one, two-time winner and heavy favourite, initially followed the script from the off, taking the first set 6-2. The 22-year-old won the tournament last year and in 2020, but her underdog rival wasn't going to make things easy. Karolina Muchová is ranked just 43rd in the world, but saw off world number two Arina Sabalenka in the semi-final and put in another strong showing in this match. The Czech, who had prevailed the only previous time this pair faced off in Prague in 2019, took the second set to a tiebreak and won it. But while she had well and truly grown into the contest in the third and final set, a double fault sealed the win for Świątek, who paid special tribute to her opponent, as well as her team of coaches and support staff after the match.
Since we first played, I knew that we're going to play, you know, tough matches, play these finals, because I was really struck with your variety on court, and I really hope we're going to have many more finals. I know how much teams are important in our sport, even though it's individual sport. I wouldn't be here without my team, so really thank you guys. Sorry for being such a pain in the...
For the foreseeable future, the tournament known as Roland Garros looks likely to be dominated by the Polish player.
To the basketball now, and in the NBA Finals, the Denver Nuggets are only one victory away from their first ever championship, following a victory over the Miami Heat in Game 4. The Nuggets are led by Serbian Nikola Jokic, who's twice been voted the league's most valuable player and has a special relationship with another Serbian superstar.
The Miami Heat have only won one game in this series, and they failed to take advantage of playing on their home court again. The Denver Nuggets, led by Aaron Gordon, who scored a game-high 27 points, took this one on the road 108-95. The Nuggets are now only one victory away from their maiden NBA title.
No, we need to win one more. I like that we didn't relax. We didn't get comfortable. We are still desperate. We still want it. And that's what makes me happy.
Nikola Jokic had comments on fellow Serb Novak Djokovic on potentially winning a 23rd Grand Slam in tennis at the French Open.
Actually, he texted me, for real. Yes, he texted me, yes. Yes, he texted me, for real. He didn't lie. Yes, he's amazing, of course, in his sport, and he's making the history every time. Probably he's going to go as one of the best ever, if not the best ever. He has a nice opportunity to win another one, and he's just amazing sport, and having him as a countryman that he represents us in the world, I think it's a great honor.
Game 5. Potentially the last of the NBA Finals, is back in Denver on Monday night.
Not settling for the mid-range.
And coming up next, sports life. Thanks so much for joining us.